You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Andy Borowitz, in today for Leonard Lopate. In 2009, American snowboarding champion Kevin Pierce was just coming off the most successful competitive season of his career, and he was hoping to win a gold medal at the 2010 Winter Olympics. But on December 31st, 2009, while Kevin Pierce was practicing a trick on the halfpipe, he crashed and suffered a traumatic brain injury, putting him in a coma for a week. In the HBO documentary The Crash Reel, director Lucy Walker chronicles Kevin's injury and recovery. And I'm so glad that both Kevin Pierce and Lucy Walker are here today. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Kevin, how old were you when you first decided you wanted to try snowboarding? What was your first exposure to it?
I got exposed to it at a very young age. I was 4 years old, and I was just a little man getting out there, and I have three older brothers. And
where'd you grow up?
Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And my older brothers are the ones that started me. I started skiing for a year, and then they were snowboarding, and I was like, oh, this is not cool. I want to be like those guys. All I wanted was to be like Adam and Andrew, and they were snowboarding, so I wanted to snowboard.
Mm-hmm. And when did you... Were you good at it right away? Did you have a real knack for it, or did it take some practice? I mean, obviously, it takes practice. But what was your first ride on a snowboard like?
Yeah, you know, it was different. It was coming up was different for me. You know, it wasn't like I jumped on and I was this miracle kid. You know, that was just like, oh my gosh, he's going to be amazing. I was, you know, really slow and came up, you know, really slow and steady, and I had to work really hard at it. There was nothing really kind of given to me, and everything I made happen was because of the work I put in. You know.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you figured out, you know, hey, this is something I want to try professionally. Like, I want to turn this into a real thing.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of like probably sophomore, junior in high school. So still pretty young. But, you know, at that time, it wasn't like a sure thing. It was something that I found out that I knew I wanted. And, you know, it was this amazing, amazing sport that I just fell in love with. And I was like, I want to do this. But it was never like, okay, guaranteed for me. So I had to continue to work really, really hard my entire career.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a trainer who was your mentor in all this, and somebody that you were linked with?
Yep, my older brother Adam.
Mm-hmm. And he did.
No, we never had coaches, never had trainers.
Never did all that.
Never. And that's why snowboarding drew me, you know, so hard, is because there was never anybody up there telling me, you know, how to do things or where to do them. Adam, my older brother, would, you know, help me out, but it wasn't like we had coaches telling us when we had to get up to the hill. It was like our choice. It was all about me and me doing it how I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Did you, you know, snowboarding is one of those things I will never try because among many things that I will never try because I, first of all, be horrible about it, but also it does look dangerous. It looks like there's a lot of falling and crashing. Did you have before your really terrible crash, did you have a lot of crashes that were, you know, injuries, things like that?
Yeah, you know, I definitely did have my fair share of injuries, and that comes along with the sport, especially when you try and, you know, move up to that higher level and try and kick things up a notch. And I definitely struggled with injuries, but we all do, and that's part of the game, and you learn how to overcome them and move past them, and you just got to be smart. That's the main thing, that you're just out there riding your ability and you're not trying to push it too hard.
So this crash, which is the centerpiece of this story, and don't worry, Lucy, you're waiting very patiently, we will talk about the film very soon. Tell me how that transpired. What happened? What went wrong? What do you remember?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's crazy to talk about. A lot went wrong, and it was almost kind of like this freak accident on this perfect day. And it was New Year's, December 2009, and I was in Park City, and we were training for the Olympics. It was the Olympic year, and there are four events is how it works, and this was the second one, and it was just in 3 days, and I needed this new trick, and I'd been working really hard on it, and it was a trick that I was really close to landing, and I went up in Park City. It was a sunny, gorgeous, perfect morning. I went up and tried the trick, and I just didn't get it around quite enough, landed on my front edge, and just bottom of the pipe, slammed to the front of my head, didn't get my hands down, and didn't have anything to, you know, save me or you know, slow down the fall, and it was just this crazy slam to my head.
Mm-hmm. And you were in a coma for an entire week.
Yeah, it was. And then in critical care for 27 days in the University of Utah, and then in rehab in Denver for 3.5 months. So it was, you know, quite the process. And now, then I went back to Vermont and lived with my family for a year, and now it's 3.5 years and I'm still recovering and my brain's still getting better. So it's like, even this far out, I'm still not fully healed.
I'm Andy Borowitz, in today for Leonard Lopate, WNYC and WNYC.org, and I'm talking to snowboarding champion Kevin Pierce and filmmaker Lucy Walker. Their new film, The Crash Reel, all about Kevin's traumatic brain injury and recovery, is premiering on HBO next Monday. Is that right? Monday at 9. So, Lucy, let me bring you into this a little bit. How did you first hear about Kevin's story, and what you've made so many films on so many different topics? What was your introduction to Kevin's story, and what made you want to make this film about him?
Yeah, I happened to meet Kevin. I was invited to be a mentor at a retreat for what Kevin calls action sports athletes, what I call extreme sports athletes, and I met Kevin there, and it was his first outing after the crash, and so he was very early in his recovery back in those days, and was immediately struck by what an incredible, charismatic superstar he was, and his story, training for the Olympics, crashing. It's an amazing story. I didn't immediately think that it would be a film, because it seemed like a sad story that was over, sort of, or a new story, a moment that had happened. I hadn't really understood about brain injury, and I hadn't really understood about Kevin, but I got the privilege of spending 4 days with him, and I started to observe that the story was very much not over. In fact, it was just getting interesting. What was this young man going to do next? Was he going to get back on top of the sport? Was he going to get back to the sport but hurt himself? I heard that if he hit his head again, he could die because of the way his brain was injured. He's very, very vulnerable to further head hits, even of a mild blow. And I was very worried about him. Was he going to give it up? But he was so passionate about the sport. So I wanted to know what was going to happen. I didn't know, but I was very worried and very attracted and very interested, and that's a sign for me that there was a film. But I didn't meet him till after the crash, and I also thought, well, maybe, you know, where am I going to get the footage? I don't want to make a Talking Heads film. I want to make a film which gives you front row seats on what actually happened. And then I started to figure out that actually all the critical points in the story thus far had been filmed. And in fact, we got footage from 232 different places, including Kevin's family, Kevin's friends, contests, sponsors, random passers-by. 232 different places had amazing material that we could use to tell the story. And also I kept filming from then 3 years ago to now, and put together this amazing story in a very cinematic way.
Did you know, before you got involved with Kevin and his story, did you know much about traumatic brain injury and what that meant?
I didn't. I must confess I was quite ignorant, and it was stunning to me that Kevin could go from being in a coma, from not knowing his name, from not being able to stand up, to today, being so incredibly funny and accomplished and smart and perfect. People would never guess what Kevin struggles with to look at him or meet him. Mm-hmm. Kevin can tell you more about how he experiences his injury in an ongoing way, but it is this invisible injury. There's no plaster cast. There's no amputation, there's no wheelchair, and yet it is extremely challenging kind of an injury. And I had no idea. 1.7 million Americans a year, 400,000 vets coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. It's the signature injury of these recent wars because of the IEDs, the explosive devices rattling the brains around in the skull. These traumatic brain injuries are incredibly common, and yet we're so ignorant about them.
Yeah, they can happen in war even if you're just close to a big explosion. You don't have to be hit by anything. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. And you don't even need to hit your head. If your body gets a blow, your brain can be shaken about, and you can get a traumatic brain injury that way.
Kevin, when you first came out of your coma, then you were in, you know, this sort of intensive care situation for an extended period of time. When did your your recovery process and your therapy began, and what was that like? What did they have you do at first?
So I was in the University of Utah for 27 days in critical care, and then they flew me to the university. Then they flew me to Craig Hospital in Denver, Colorado, where I spent the next 3.5 months. And it was, you know, I was lucky that I got flown there because I was in bad shape there even after a month. You know, I have this drawing. They asked me to draw a person a month and a half later, and I couldn't even draw. And, you know, like they had me doing things like on a treadmill. And when you get on a treadmill, you put it on like whatever the setting is, 7.2 or however fast you want to run. I think I run now at 7.5, and they had me at 0.01. So, wow. Like, things like as small as that, like learning how to just take a couple steps again is, you know, just like relearning the basics.
Mm-hmm. And was it, what was your emotional state like during this? Were you at first, did you feel defeated, or were you always very determined to get back, or was it a little mix of both?
Yeah, it was definitely a mix of both. I was extremely, extremely lucky. You'll see in the film. And, you know, I just want to point out real quick that this film is not a snowboarding movie, but more of a, you know, a movie that has so many different pieces. Yes, there's my snowboarding in it, but really it can show you what it can do to have a family. And, you know, I have the most supportive family of all time, and I have the best group of friends. And then I have this amazing brother, David, that has Down syndrome that plays a huge part in my recovery. And there are just so many different factors that Lucy wove into this film that makes it so, you know, so much more than a snowboarding movie.
Right. Right. Lucy, when you started filming Kevin, were you amazed about his network of support? It seems like that's the supporting players in this are a big part of the story, all of his friends and his brothers and family.
I think Kevin has the most remarkable family I've ever seen on screen. The Pierce family are truly remarkable. Kevin has a brother, Dave, who has Down syndrome, who has this rare gift of saying what everybody else is mm-hmm. thinking. And it's a great dramatic device.
In a film. I was saying it's good to have in a film, right?
It's a great dramatic device yeah. as well as a wonderful gift to everybody around him. And he struggles, though, with his Down syndrome, struggles to accept it, talks in the film about how he wishes he doesn't have it. He hates it. He wishes it would go away. And Kevin, of course, was not immediately embracing his brain injury either. Kevin, of course, would much rather be out there snowboarding, winning contests, rather than dealing with this rehab. So Kevin was very focused on getting back out snowboarding. And David was very worried about that, as was his whole family. And David, meantime, didn't want to accept his Down syndrome. So the way the two brothers interact, I think, to challenge one another, and the way that the family has so much love and support for Kevin, and the way they frame that in terms of talking about their feelings for him. They don't tell him what he can and can't do. They tell him how much they love him and how much their feelings are. And to see a family that's functional is, it sounds kind of soft and boring, but when you see the film, it'll blow your mind to actually see this wonderful family operate. And they've got some real challenges on their hands, but they have this fantastic philosophy that they should share honestly what they're going through. If you have a disability, you should talk about it and not be ashamed of it, whether that's dyslexia, which all the men in the family suffer from a severe form of, or Down syndrome with David, or Kevin's now brain injury. They have this gift that makes documentary filmmakers' dreams come true, that they can share honestly what they're going through, and they're not going to make you cut the camera. They're really going to go there, which means the audience has this very intense experience of what it's truly like to be them as they're going through this incredibly dramatic journey.
I've been speaking with snowboarder Kevin Pierce and filmmaker Lucy Walker about the new documentary, The Crash Reel. It is an amazing film, and it airs July 15th at 9 p.m. on HBO. Kevin and Lucy, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man.